So why don't you turn over to 1 John 4:4. Thank God. So 1 John 4:4, and why don't you also turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Hold your finger there. First John 4:4. And 1 Corinthians 3. So 1 John 4:4 said, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you, then he who is in the world." Now before that, we'll read verses 1 through 4, or 1 through 3 before that. But just, we're going to start, just barely get started, but we'll pick it up next week probably. We're talking about the seven steps to the highest kind of faith, and we're going to talk about step five, which is to know the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. To know the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So here in 1 John 4:4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Let's read verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So he's talking about the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, and he's also talking about that Spirit is greater than he who is in the world, which is the Spirit he's talking about in verse 3, the Spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You have your finger in 1 Corinthians 3, go over to 2 Corinthians 4 on the way over there. 2 Corinthians 4. It says, or let's go to verse 3, it says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So that's the spirit, the God of this age, that's Satan. And it calls him the God of this age right there. That's the one that's in the world. And notice it says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded." So that spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, which is Satan, he is real, and he is in the world, and the Bible calls him the God of this world. It's like we said before, you ever wonder why the world looks like it's in a mess? And you think it's God, it's not God. It is the God of this world, which is Satan. He's the one that has everything in a mess. He's the one that's leading this thing and influencing men. in causing all this stuff. The reason you have tornadoes and hurricanes and so-called acts of God is not because of God. It's because Satan is the ruler of this world, because Adam bowed his knee to Satan. And sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so you have the downfall of creation, and it is a far cry from what it was when he created it. It doesn't look like it was when he created it. It has changed a lot. There has been a global flood since then. The Bible says it. Jesus said it. Jesus referred to the flood. So it's just not a matter of the Old Testament being right or wrong. Jesus referred to the flood. So if you don't believe in the flood, you don't believe the words of Christ. And if you don't believe the words of Christ, then you might as well throw most everything out. No, there was a flood. And it destroyed this earth as it was known then. What you're seeing now is just a shadow of what was. And you will know that one day. We will all know exactly what happened in every situation, and the truth will be known. But trust God, believe Him and His Word. This Word has been around for a long time. It was given for our benefit, and it is true. You don't walk by faith or walk by sight, you walk by faith. You walk by what the Word of God says, and it will be proven true. But it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded. He's a master illusionist. He blinds men's minds. He makes things look appealing that actually will cause death. It's a mirage. There are so many things in life that men are chasing that when they actually get there or they actually partake of it, they realize it's nothing. It's just like a mirage. You know what a mirage is, right? Now, I've never experienced one like actually in the desert where I'm like I'm about to die of thirst like you see in the cartoons and the movies, but you do see it like out way. Now, what I have done is when I've been driving on the road, and it's hot on the outside, you see it kind of all water up there, and you can see it looks like there's just water right across the road, right? Yeah. You get up there, I remember as a kid, we're driving on some long trip, and you get up there, and it looks like it, and you go through that area, and there's nothing there, and then again, there's something way up there, and you think you're going to go through water, and there's nothing there. Why? It's a mirage. Well, that's kind of the way the enemy does with people. If he can just keep getting you to look at the whatever is out there, then when you get there, it's actually not what you thought, but then you get there and what about that thing? And you just keep going. That's what he does. He blinds people. And so he gets them distracted on all this stupid stuff and has them go down all these different paths. And then they wake up and realize they just wasted half their life on something that meant nothing. And if we're not careful, we can do that a little bit. But the Bible talks about the God of this world. In 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. Satan is not the greater one. The Holy Spirit's the greater one. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that, because when you look around at what's going on in the world, you sometimes think the devil's won. You could think that. Because there's so many things in a mess, it's just appalling. Kind of perversion and everything that people are espousing as truth. It's horrible. But Satan is not the greater one. The Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is the greater one, and guess where he dwells? Do you realize what we just said? See, what we're talking about now is we need to know the reality of that. Because if we really believe the greater one, the creator of the universe, the one that was the power behind it, the one that orchestrated Jesus being raised from the dead, the one that was responsible for the power behind all the miracles that you see, that have you read about on the earth today, any miracles that take place are because The Holy Spirit is there. The creation, it said the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He's the one that made all that happen. He is the powerhouse. And the Bible says he's the greater one. Greater than all. There's none greater. And he dwells in us. So we can't take that as, well, yeah, greater one's in me. Yeah, I got it. I mean, again, like every step that we, you guys know what song I'm talking about. Keith Moore, if you've listened to him, he has a song called The Greater One. It's kind of like a Jamaican type feel or something like that to it. But anyway, greater ones in me, the greater ones in me, the mighty Holy Spirit is living in me. That can't just be a song to you. Like all these other things, the other things we've talked about, we're talking about the reality of all these things. We've said that over and over with these different things. I mean, again, here, we're talking about overall having strong faith, right? And all these different steps that will strengthen our faith and get it where it needs to be. Well, knowing that we have the most powerful being in the universe on the inside of you in every situation, that could strengthen your faith if you actually believed it. Could it?
Yes.
So you're in a situation, you know, if you think you're all alone and everybody's forsaken me and I just don't know what to do, that could be depressing. But if you were a Christian and you knew that the God of all creation, the Spirit of Almighty God, the one that knows everything, all wisdom, knows everything about everything, is actually in you and is called your helper, talks about in John, then that could put a smile back on your face. If you believed it, but you could hear it and not believe it, and it doesn't do you a bit of good. In other words, you could walk around with the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, which people do every day, and not believe it and not act on it, and it would do no good. Right? But if we believe it and we act on it, then we could partake of having, you know, that benefit. I'll go over to 1 Corinthians 3. We just had a few minutes here, so reading a few scriptures. Get going. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Actually, let's go back to verse 9. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." It says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know?" Look at the context he's talking about. He said, everybody's work is going to become clear what you did on this earth. Now look at verse 12 before we go on. "Now if anyone builds on this foundation, which is Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear." Did you know it? You didn't know it. You do know it? You guys are either staring at your Bibles or you're not listening. It's completely silent. It will become clear. In other words, you will know. If you ever think, well, the stuff I'm doing, it just doesn't matter. No, it matters. And eventually, it's going to become clear. It says, "For the day will declare it." And it's capitalized. "Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward." Now, we refer to this sometimes, but here's a scripture that talks about this. The Bible does talk about rewards. It talks about rewards for what you do on this earth. Now, how all that system works, I don't know. But it does talk about rewards. It says he will receive a reward, doesn't it? Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
So this thing about people say, well, it's just everything's the same. When we get to heaven, it's just all, if you got in at the last minute, fine. If you did work for God, it's just all the same. It's not the same. Now, you are going to be saved by the blood of Jesus, but the Bible clearly talks about rewards that will be given to you based on what you do. So if you ever think, I'm just slaving away, other people are not doing anything, they're not pulling their weight, but I'm just serving God, number one, you're probably in pride. But number two, you got to know that it's not in vain. And everybody will know, sooner or later, what you have done or not done for the kingdom of God. Not for all the side stuff, but for the kingdom of God, it will become known. It says, if anyone's work which he has built on and endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. That means if your work was meaningless, didn't do anything for the kingdom of God, it says, his work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So what does that mean? You get through, you waste your life, don't do anything, but you get to heaven? Yeah, you get to heaven. Kind of the way if a building was burning and you barely got out, that you would get out with you, but you lost everything else. Maybe even part of your clothes are singed off and you just barely got out. You just barely covered. But you're here. I'm here. I made it through. Well, good, you made it through. You smell like smoke, but you made it through. That's not the way I want to go to heaven. Is that the way you want to go? Well, I received Jesus as my Savior. I didn't do a darn thing after that. Never touched anything for Him. Never did anything. But I'm here. Well, good. Thank God you're here. But that whole time you were on earth could have been doing things for the kingdom of God. And Jesus knows it. And everybody will evidently know it to some degree because there will be rewards. Now, we do it for Him. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Does the Bible not say that? So this idea that we're just going to all get to heaven and boy, we're just all here, just so glad to be here. Well, I think we will be glad to be there, but to think that nothing on earth mattered is not biblical. So what we do right now, it actually does matter, doesn't it? Well, we said all that. The next verse, he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So look at the context he says this in. He's saying, he just got done talking about what you do on the earth, and if you do things that are going to endure, you'll be rewarded. If you don't, you're going to make it. And he says, don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of God? And He dwells in you, which would mean you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Why would you do anything else but the things that are going to matter eternally? Why would you, if you have the Spirit of God in you, go over here and mess around and do stuff over here? Why would you do that? He goes, don't you know? You have the Spirit of the living God in you. You are His dwelling place. And he said in verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He said, you are the temple of God. Does that sound like greater is He who is in you? Yeah. So you are walking around, if you're a born-again Christian, and this is not sacrilegious, we just read it in the Bible. He says that we are the temple of Almighty God. In other words, the temple is not, in the Old Covenant, there was a temple where God dwelt. This presence of God dwelt in that temple. And in the Holy of Holies, you could not just walk in. Yes, you would die. People say, well, God's so harsh. No. That's presumption. I mean, God is holy. And to think you can just waltz in there, especially in the Old Covenant, that's the same thing with when, the guy tried to study the cart, it's the same thing. Because, oh, God's so harsh. No, he's not. They told him very clearly what to do and not to do to handle the ark. And they basically disregarded it. It's not God being mean. A man defiled like that cannot stand in the presence of Almighty God. In the Old Covenant, thank God, we have been born again, and the Bible actually says we're the temple. Not that you just can't even go to the temple, you are the temple. That's a big difference. That's a pretty good swing. You can't go near the temple, or you're going to die you are the temple, you're walking around the presence of God all the time, and live. But this is a holy thing. I think we take it for granted. We can take it for granted if we've been around, oh yeah, greater ones than me, I believe it. But yeah, but then we don't act like it. And we're all guilty of it. I'm not pointing any fingers at you. We're all guilty of not really acting like the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, that we are the temple. And we don't understand what a privilege and honor that is. And if we would act like it and start acting like it and acting on this, I think we would see different results in a lot of places in our life. And our faith would come up. Because we actually believe that God is actually with us, that we're righteous, we're holy, because he's in us. So, you know, we're not being struck dead. That means something's happened in the new covenant. And that power, the Almighty God of creation is with us. So when we pray, that power is released. If we get a hold of that, and I believe in the next few sessions we're gonna spend some time there, then that's just gonna notch our faith up too. Can you see that? If we believe it? All right. Well, that's just an introduction. We'll continue next week probably.